Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, birth control remains a topic of great controversy, not only involving whether to utilize it, but if you do, what method really works the best. Here to help us understand some of the latest findings is Dr. Renee Mested, assistant professor and the division chief of obstetrics and gynecology at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Mested. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
So, you know, I read somewhere that on the 50th anniversary, birth control pill has been portrayed both as the driving force of female empowerment, but also by some religious groups as kind of the bane of our existence. So it does kind of raise a lot of questions. But clearly, people see that it is, as I said, a driving force of female empowerment. And also in the new healthcare law, it's looked at as preventive medicine. So it seems to me the middle ground is to try to reduce unwanted pregnancies and also that end in abortion. But there should be the goal of greater access and more, you know, effectiveness. So let's talk about this whole idea of effectiveness and choice, because apparently there are a lot more choices these days.
Yes.
So I thought I'd just run through with you what those choices are. Let's start with the pill, which, as I said, it's had its 50th anniversary recently. How effective is it? What are some of the pros and cons?
So the birth control pill, known as the pill, to most people in this country, contains both estrogen and a progesterone. The estrogens in birth control pills is pretty much, the estrogen is basically the same for all birth control pills available in the United States, except for one. It's the progestins that vary, or the progesterones that vary. Additionally, the doses in birth control pills vary. We can have them as low as 10 micrograms of estrogen, ranging up to 50 micrograms of estrogen, depending on a woman's needs. The effectiveness is, it ranges from 92 to 98%.
So it's pretty effective.
It is. It's very effective. Unfortunately, it's reliant upon the woman to take every day.
So there's a real, you have to maintain a schedule.
Yes. There's a little bit of wiggle room. So if a woman goes out, if she takes her pill normally at night and she goes out with her friends and comes in early in the morning and she takes her pill, then she'll still be covered.
And some people are not candidates for the pill. Isn't that correct?
No. Unfortunately, women with a variety of health problems, like high blood pressure or clotting problems, her blood clots too easily, or if she has diabetes with additional kidney or eye concerns, women with some liver problems also can't take the birth control pill. But most young women are pretty free of most health conditions. But the other additional upsides to taking the birth control pill is we have found that long-term use will decrease the risk of getting ovarian cancer, some of the most common ovarian cancers, by up to 50%.
Wow, that's stunning.
That's huge. And mm-hmm. We don't have any way of screening for ovarian cancer the way we do breast cancer. So that's actually very exciting. And it hasn't been found to affect breast cancer risk. It also decreases the risk of some uterine cancers. For women who have heavy periods or very painful periods, it helps to control both the pain and the heaviness. Women who have something like endometriosis, it can help prevent that from worsening to help protect her fertility for the future. I've had patients who have had to have blood transfusions because their periods are so heavy. This has helped to manage that. I have teenagers who have something called von Willebrand syndrome, which...
something to do with clotting?
But it goes in the opposite direction. They don't clot their blood. They bleed very easily. And some of these girls have never been on a sports team. They haven't gone to school dances or participated in after-school activities because
for fear of injury.
Well, and they bleed so heavily. Yeah. When they have their periods, chronically anemic. So this actually helps to treat that clotting problem as well as decrease their bleeding so these girls can have a normal life.
So there are a lot of benefits to the pill, in fact.
Yes, there are.
Very interesting. So what about the implant? What is that? They talk about the implant. What is it, first of all?
So the implant is the subdermal contraceptive implant. In our country, we have Nexplanon. It is good for 3 years. It gives a continuous dose of progesterone only.
So it's a thin rod that's inserted under the skin
in
the upper arm?
Yes, it is. A doctor does have to, or a nurse practitioner or healthcare provider does have to put it in. the advantage is that once it's in, it's there. It's not going to fall out. It's not going to get lost. If a woman loses her insurance, she doesn't lose access to her contraception.
How long does it last for?
It's effective for 3 years. I've referred to it as Norplant Light. Because for women my age, I'm in my 40s, we had Norplant in our late teens and early 20s, and that was 6 rods good for 5 years. Well, this is 1 rod good for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. So, and as you said, it has a high effectiveness.
It's as good as being sterilized without actually being sterilized. Wow. So if a woman has it placed and 2 years later decides she's ready to start her family, her provider will remove it, and the hormone's out of her system within a week, but she can get ready to get pregnant within the month.
So are there any contraindications for using the implant? Who should not use the implant?
Women with active liver disease, basically, because the liver is what clears the medication from her system. So, and there's a question about women with clotting disorders, but for the most part, it's because it doesn't have the estrogen. The estrogen is the clotting disorder component that we worry about.
It's interesting. Just going back for a moment, the pill, when you have a tendency to clot too easily, would be contraindicated.
Correct.
But on the other hand, if you have a problem clotting, like with as you mentioned with von Willebrand's, the pill might assist you in that regard.
Yes.
So it's a very individual thing. Obviously, yes. All these things need to be discussed with your own healthcare provider.
Yes.
What's the shot?
So the shot is also progesterone only. And that is a 3-month injection that is, its effectiveness can also be as low from the low 90s up to the high 90%. It's effective for 3 months. In some cases, can fall under the title of long-acting reversible contraception. The downside is that the woman still needs to renew it. Effectively, every 3 months.
That's pretty frequent.
Yes. I mean, it's 4 times a year, so it's not as bad as a pill every day.
Mm-hmm.
But it still can be inconvenient for many women.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with obstetrician-gynecologist Dr. Renee Mested. And we're talking about the most effective birth control methods that are available today. Are there contraindications for something like the shot?
Again, active liver disease.
Similar one.
Yes, because it is only progesterone, so it doesn't have the other side effects.
I've got 2 more here I wanted to go through, actually 3. What's the patch?
So the patch is a combined hormonal method as well. So it has estrogen and progesterone. So women who can't use estrogen methods cannot use the patch. It looks like a fat Band-Aid that goes on a woman's skin and releases the hormones very slowly through her skin a week at a time. So she replaces it once a week. And it has a lot of the same benefits as birth control pills, the same negative side effects as birth control pills. We don't have any data on it as far as protecting against ovarian or endometrial cancer or uterine cancer because it just hasn't been around as long. The birth control pill, because it's been around for so long, is one of the best studied, best understood medication we have.
Are there contraindications for using the patch as well, though?
The same
similar
thing with
to the birth control
yes.
pill.
Yes.
Now, the last one, or actually there's 2 more I want to get to. The ring, which is something we're going to get to when we talk about the IUD, but the ring is actually inserted into the vagina.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So the ring is a very flexible vinyl device. You can twist it around your finger. It's fairly easy. It is effective for up to a month at a time. It does fit in the vagina. It's very easy to put in. It's as easy as a tampon.
So an individual can do it for themselves.
Yes.
They don't have to have this done by a healthcare provider.
No. We give a prescription. She can pick it up at the pharmacy and just exchange it out every month.
And again, does that carry with it certain contraindications, like who shouldn't be using it?
Because it's a combined hormonal method, it also has estrogen in it. It has the same bad side effects as the birth control pills.
So the IUD, now it's gotten a lot of bad press in this country because of the Dacon shield, I guess, in the 1970s. There were issues about pelvic inflammatory disease, and there's just been a general mistrust of it since. Help us understand quickly what it is. And what's the story today?
So today in the United States, we have 4 IUDs available. They're intrauterine devices. Healthcare provider does have to put it up inside the uterus, so it slides through the cervix and stays in the uterus. The length of time they're used ranges from 3 years to 10 years, depending on which device you a woman receives. The controversy came out of the 70s and 80s data that indicated that women who were using IUDs had more pelvic inflammatory disease, which is a sexually transmitted infection that infects the fallopian tubes, resulting in scarring of the fallopian tubes and infertility. In the 80s and early 90s, when other doctors looked at the data again and separated out the different IUDs, they found that actually only one IUD caused the problems, and that was the Delcon Shield. The other IUDs were just as safe as any other method of birth control for sexually active women. Obviously, women who weren't having sex were not going to get PID, but for women having sex, the IUDs were no more risky than any other method of birth control. Unfortunately, though, a lot of people were scared away from the IUDs, so for many, many years, it was only about 1% to 2% of women in the United States use it, even though it was very popular around the world. So currently, we have four, like I said. Three have progesterone on them. One uses copper. The copper IUD, known as the Paragard in the United States, is effective for 10 years, and it does not have any hormones, and it works because copper prevents sperm from being able to fertilize an egg.
Wow. So
that's
surreal.
How it works.
Oh, interesting. So it just kind of blocks the whole process.
It's toxic to the sperm, basically.
Wow. Kills them all.
Pretty much, yes. It also can actually be used for emergency birth control. So if a woman has unprotected sex and it's inserted within 5 days, it's more effective than the emergency birth control pills.
Wow.
Quite honestly. Then the other three, you have the Mirena, which is good for 5 years, the Laleta, which is good for 3 years, and the Skyla, which is also good for 3 years.
You know, each year in the United States, there are about an estimated 3 million unplanned pregnancies, and about 1.2 million lead to abortion. And about half of these unintended pregnancies seem to take place because of the either incorrect or inconsistent use of the contraception. And you've been involved in a study that really looked at all of this. What did you find when it came to the most effective methodology and what factors played a role?
So the most effective methods of birth control are the IUDs and the Nexplanon implant. And that is because once they go into a woman's body, she owns them. If she loses her insurance, if she doesn't have any money, if she can't get to the pharmacy at the end of the week, none of those things will affect how well she uses her birth control. It will be with her until it runs out.
And things like their age or how stressed they are or what other, you know, contravening factors take place in their life doesn't interfere with their ability
Correct.
To control their contraception.
Yes. Yes. The most common barriers in the United States are cost and access, whether the physician knows how to use these methods or the pharmacies are willing to dispense.
So the bottom line, I mean, in your study, you found that the age of the individual played a role. Younger people were more apt to perhaps misuse contraception or didn't use it on a normal, regular enough schedule. How about socioeconomic level? Did that play a role, or education?
Yes. And we actually found that younger women wanted to use good birth control. They just, particularly with the old scares of the IUDs, a lot of the doctors weren't willing to give them the IUDs, and most of them didn't know how to put the implants in. So if you had a provider who was willing to put an IUD in, the young women were very excited to have access to good birth control because they knew that getting pregnant would not serve them well.
So just to wrap up, what's the bottom line? What recommendation do you make to your patients, or what do you see as the overall issue in terms of access, effectiveness, and cost?
So first-line birth control recommendations should be the IUDs or the implant because they are the most effective, they are actually the most cost-effective, and they do not require the patient to participate in their how effective they are. Ultimately.
Well, thank you so much. My guest has been Dr. Renee Mested. She's Assistant Professor of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the Division Chief of Obstetrics and Gynecology at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen. You're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.